the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets at Jack Wagons. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by Nathaniel Lundy. Tis indeed another rollicking edition of the Fade 5 Podcast. And we are back in the saddle, folks. A quick programming note. The schedule has changed for this broadcast. We're no longer doing it 3 days a week. We're slicing it back, as we always do this time of year, to 2 days per week. We'll have new episodes on Tuesdays and mostly on Fridays. Usually we don't have any scheduling issues, but some pop up here and there. We might shift it to Thursday. So just know that the goalposts may move a little bit later in the week, but we're pretty fixed on Tuesday because there's always a killer slate of games available, particularly in my area of expertise. So that is a world of college basketball. So let's go ahead and get after it here, Lundy, on our first show in the year of our gambling gods, 2026. And we got tickets in hand because we're hopping aboard the Honk Honk Plus Bus, my man. Plus 100 odds or greater is always a requirement. So, good sir, give me a winner, something that could be a smooth ride.
Let's have some fun here. Let's go to the National Hockey League. You talked about college basketball being your world. Mine lives on the ice. And by the way, those of you that have been going to the spreadsheet, yes, I know it. There hasn't been shit on there. It's been the holidays, you clowns. You know, give me a break. All right. I had a couple people messaging me like, there's nothing on your spreadsheet. I'm like, yeah, I know. But you know what? There is a smile on my face while I'm having a glass of wine with my family. So anyway, I digress. Everybody calm down. The picks will be back. Let's get back at it. We got 10 games on the ice this evening, but I am going to go to the city of brotherly shove for this evening. Let's talk about Anaheim and Philadelphia. Folks, the Ducks have been foie gras for a while now. They have lost six in a row. They have lost, eight of their last nine. I mean, the Ducks have just been absolutely flopping. And not only have they been losing, but they've been losing rather spectacularly. If you go across this last six-game losing streak that they are on right now, they're giving up an average of five goals a game. And that includes giving up seven to the Washington Capitals last night. So their goaltending stinks. They're scoring, which is kind of nice. The problem is that they are just giving up goals left and right. And I think Philadelphia is going to do that. So first and foremost, we will take the home team on the money line in this SGP. I think Philadelphia will hand Anaheim their seventh consecutive loss. And then we're going to look over at Philadelphia on that top line. And we're going to look at center Trevor Zegras. And we're going to look for Zegras to get a point this evening. Why do we like this? Well, because he leads Philadelphia in points this year. He's got 39 on the year, but most importantly, he's only got two in his last four games. I'm playing the law of averages here, folks, that he's going to find a way to either dish out an apple there on that top line, maybe on the power play, or he's just going to score himself. So I'm going to take him for a point. I'm going to take Philadelphia on the money line. Little baby seduced by the juice here on the plus bus. We'll take it over at DraftKings at a plus 110.
Ooh, I like the little baby seduced by the juice. Baby, new year in the house. I'm going to go ahead and throw out something that's all full grown up, my man. At plus 1,200, really getting seduced by the juice here at BetMGM. Let's get a Super Bowl matchup play out there. I say it's going to be New England and the Seattle Seahawks in Santa Clara for the whole shebang. Again, 12-1 odds available if I hit that exact matchup currently there at the Lions Roar. I've said this since I've been blue in the face on BetMGM tonight for the last several weeks and really last couple of months. I felt about mid-season Seattle was a team to beat because they have the best defense in the NFL. You could have an argument there for the Houston Texans, but the statistical evidence really backs up my claim. You look since week 10, no team ranks higher than the Hawks in EPA per play D. So I think they are the number one seed for a reason. The Super Bowl quest for everybody else in the NFC has got to roll through the Starbucks City. And they're going to be highly caffeinated. They're going to ball out. Devin Witherspoon, who played where? The ILL. And his boys will get it done. And they will make the journey down the left coast there in Northern California. And I'm going to go to New England Patriots. Selfishly, I'm pulling for Lundy's team emblazoned there on his breast. The Denver Broncos got the old throwback logo that you're sporting right now, the orange crush. Absolutely love it. But that team just starts off way too sluggishly for me to really back them. New England Patriots are damn wagon. They're phenomenal. They are fantastic offensively. Number one in the NFL. EPA per play offense since week 10. They ain't too shabby defensively either, at number 11 in the EPA per play category, again, since week 10. I know you got all the transgressions, the alleged ones, the controversy, the dark cloud hanging above the head of Stephon Diggs, but Drake May is a front runner for the NFL MVP award for all the right reasons. And most importantly, too, I think it's a little bit overlooked, they got a dynamite 1-2 punch to the ground right now with Trevion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. So they can play a variety of ways and beat you in a variety of ways. So put all together, give me the Patriots, give me the Seahawks in a Santa Clara Super Bowl 6-0, baby, plus 1,200 there at BetMGM. With those bets on the board, it's time to get after it with another Tuesday edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, numero cinco on the countdown. It's all college basketball all the time. It's that time of the year. You need to familiarize yourself with a lot of these teams if you want to have a shot of maybe winning bragging rights and your office pool come March Madness this season. Let's go just up the road from the Monday there in Fort Fawn. Give me the Colorado State Rammies to take care of business on the money line at home in Moby. Great place to watch a basketball game, by the way, against New Mexico at a plus 102. Again, there's Baby City's Mother Juice again, available at DraftKings. Ali Farokmanesh, the former Northern Iowa great, is now head coach of CSU. Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride this season. Team is probably going to live middle of the pack, but maybe in the upper half of the pack of the Mountain West Conference. They can really gun from outside. It is ridiculous the amount of strokers they have on the squad. Rochsteiner, Pascarelli, Kerry Booth, the former ILL, and it wasn't a standout, only barely even played, but balling right now. And Ford Fund, Jorgensen, Butler, all of those guys are shooting at least 39% from way downtown. CSU is the slowest team in the country, believe it or not. No, it's not St. Mary's. It's not Houston. It's Colorado State at number 365 nationally. Limit a lot of the possessions so they can keep it close. They're number four in the country in AFG offense. Defensively, the opposite is true at number 284 in that category. And you look at New Mexico, a pretty balanced team, 146 in adjusted tempo, 145 EFG offense, 66 in EFG defense. But home court, it means something. New Mexico, not a good rebounding team. Control the glass and splishy and splash like you normally do as a collective. I mean, Colorado State shooting 42.1%. from beyond the arc. And if those threes fall, New Mexico ain't going to catch them. So give me CSU. Ram it home, Lundy, on the money line at a plus 102 against the Lobos. Available at DraftKings. Good, sir. Fair to follow.
I like this one. I mean, look, Torvik's got them winning by three, I think. And Moby is a great place to play. I think this is an opportunity for Colorado State to make a statement. And if you can get it at plus odds, rock and roll. You can also, if you want to give yourself a little bit of a cushion, take some of the picks that Brad's got. Take CSU and take them like, plus 5.5. Take it up to 6.5, something like that. And then pair it up with something else. Give yourself a little two-leg parlay with an alt line if you need to. But I say they get the job done up in Fort Fun.
Wham, bam, and thank you, Cam the Ram.
Number four.
I see what I did there. I got bars. I got rhymes. Numero Quattro here on the Tuesday edition of the Fade Five Countdown from the Intermountain West. Let's go down to the Deep South and a team that is kind of on the ropes right now. The reigning national champs. The line opened at 10.5. It is now down to 9.5. And I grabbed it at a little baby seduced by juice. Even money plus 100. The Gators take it on UGA. University of Georgia Bulldogs. You might say, man, that line is sky high. Georgia is a top 20 team. Ashley, yeah, that's right. And the popularity polls, but who they really beat? Last I checked, nobody. They don't have a single quadrant one win on the season, despite only having one loss on the year, the lopsided overall record. That's why you got to kind of peel back the layers of the onion, folks. And that's our job here on the Fade 5 podcast. So I don't like the Gators to chomp down. They got to make a statement. They still have arguably the best front court in the country there with Condon and Chinyulu and Hawk. I mean, they got ballers on the interior, and they should be able to score at will against this Georgia team. Now, I will say this. The Bulldogs have a couple of prolific shot blockers, so they do challenge a lot of shots at the rim. The key to this cover is a guard play of Florida, and you want to say clack and clack, Brad, that is a dice roll. I understand why, because Xavier Lee, the Princeton transfer, has been of a letdown. Boogie Fland, who came over from Arkansas, has been wildly erratic and inconsistent as well. That is why Florida is not nationally ranked right now, and a team, if the tournament were to begin today, would barely probably be in the overall field. But dissecting the matchup, you look at Georgia, yes, they can really score. The number 37 AFG offense, sure, defensively, number 23 in AFG. Oh, Brad, but they're balanced. You always throw out that B word, you bastard. I get it. They're pretty good on the offensive glass as well, but Florida has a lot of size, again, to neutralize. It just comes down to the guard play. And Florida's a team, too, that really crushes you on the glass. They are top five in the country. Offensive rebounding percentage, defensive rebounding percentage. So, Lee, Boogie, make it, shake, make it shimmy, splishy and splash, please. You guys, one of them, just if both of you show up, that'd be fantastic. They're going to blow out Georgia. I just need one of you to play an above-average game. And if that happens, Florida is going to cover at home there. And the Creature Comforts butting up against the Swamp. So give me the Gators -9.5. Kind of a desperate team. I like betting on those desperate teams. Taking all the Bulldogs +100 to DraftKings. Super Quatch on the countdown. Landy, better follow.
I have nothing to add other than to remind everybody how fun it is when Brad is arguing with himself.
Oh, but Brad, you used the B word.
Like when Brad switches voices and then starts arguing with himself, it's spectacular. I mean, it's, some of you will get this reference. It's almost like Phil Hendry.
I'm insane in the membrane, insane in the brain.
Number three.
Numero tres here on the Fade 5 countdown. Let's see the SEC, shall we? Oh, SEC, how did it go in the bowl season this year? How you feeling right now? You sorrowful bastards. Basketball really not all that much better this year. It is kind of a down conference overall across the sport and some of the big sports, but there's still some money-making opportunities. And a reason why I feel the league is down in college basketball is the matchup between these two teams, Tennessee and Texas. Both have been tremendously underwhelming, to say the least. Both really need a victory, but give me the Volunteers. At home there in Knoxville, I'll lay the 9.5 against Hook'em Horns. All right, all right, all right. Also known as the Fight McConaughey's at a -110 there at BetMGM. You look at Texas, not too shabby. Number 72 AFG offense, number 70 in the nation in AFG defense. But a team that is 0-2 in true road matchups this season. They're horrendous shooting along the arc, where they're only netting just over 32% on the season. And defensively, number 207 in three-point percentage D. And you look at Tennessee, Gillespie, Jacob Gillespie, should be able to have himself a quality game in this one. I know Tennessee has lost four of their last seven contests overall, but their calling card is their excellent defense. Usually, as always the case under Rick Barnes, coach clubs. Number seven in the nation, EFGD. They're only giving up 46% inside the arc and 28.4% outside of it. And Lundy, they are numero uno in the nation, in the country, coast to coast in these United States of America in offensive rebounding percentage. So they live on the glass, generate a lot of second, third chance opportunities, and typically make the opposition pay. So given just kind of the lackluster ways of the University of Texas, and given the fact, too, that Tennessee is at home, I think they'll take care of business. They're going to win this thing around by 12 to 15 points. All I need is for them to win by double figures, and we cash. So, numero tres in the countdown. Give me the VOLS of the Vols, -9.5 Against Sean Miller's Texas Longhorns at a minus 110 at BetMGM. Good, sir. Better follow.
I will follow on this one. Tennessee's beaten them four straight times. And last year, I think in March, beat them by 11 or 12. I think we're seeing a repeat of that one coming up. So take advantage of the fact that Texas is down a little bit. Tennessee at home there in Knoxville. Take full advantage of it. -9.5. I say it's double figures. I say it's at least a dozen or more.
Oh, full advantage, you say? Take exactly that. Where? At my free site, thegamingjuice.com, you jackals. Again, we don't charge you a dime. You want to ask me a question in the world of sports betting? Maybe you have some all-season fantasy football thoughts. Fire away. Just click Ask Brad on the homepage and issue your question. We'll get to it at my leisure, at my convenience. All of our picks live there daily. And yes, the spreadsheet of Lundy's is back up and running. So take a chill pill, folks. He's back in the saddle, though he's peacing out on me right now. So make sure you check out Lundy's always free, transparent, and public spreadsheet at thegamingjuice.com. Check out my always free, transparent, and public spreadsheet, updating it every single day. Picks in the wild card round in the NFL, picks in college basketball every stinking day. And you get it all there at thegamingjuice.com. I just cranked out a futures piece on my favorite action this year's NFL postseason. I wrote a piece as well about why I feel the University of Michigan is no doubt the team to beat to cut down the nets in Indianapolis in this year's Final Four and winning a national title. Read the reasons why. Again, we don't charge you a single cent. So go right now to thegamingjuice.com. Click Converse and Cash. .. Maybe.
Number two.
All right, numero dos here on the Tuesday edition of the Fade 5 Countdown. Give me Louisville. They're at home. I'm going to take a +1.5 against the Dokies, baby, at a -110 at BetMGM. And I know what you're mainly thinking. If you are an ardent supporter of college basketball, Mykel Brown, the freshman sensation, he ain't going to play. The star point guard is out with a bad back. And that's why this line is at Louisville +1.5. They're inside the Center. If Brown were playing, I would say Louisville would probably be favored by 3.5, maybe as high as 4.5, Lundy. That's how much of a value that he brings to this squad. But, you know, they still have some players, obviously, that can hold their own, to say the least. You look at the Cardinals, Kelsey's team, they're number 70 in the country in adjusted tempo, 33 in EFG offense and 16 in EFG defense. And that's key. They're only giving up 43.4% inside the arc, and they're going to be challenged by a front runner for National Player of the Year in Cam Boozer and go out there and drop 25 and grab 15 rebounds. Might be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft this season. But they're also going to give it up a Louisville 31.5% from beyond the arc. The Cardinals are phenomenal on the glass. That's going to be critical in this game, limiting some of those secondary opportunities for the Blue Devils. Also a very good team at the charity stripe. So if it is a tight one, and they need to sold it away at the line, they can certainly do that as a collective. One of the best passing teams in college basketball, one of the nation's leaders in assisted field goals made, where, you know, they are, I believe, in top 10 in that category. And what's also interesting, Lundy, is that they are number one in the nation in most three-point attempts per game. 54.3% of Louisville shots come from distance, where they're netting over 35% as a collective. Hell, they're shooting 61.3% from two. Duke, I know the advanced profile is excellent. They're top 20 EFG offense, top 20 in EFG defense. Again, they have the National Player of the Year, likely winner in Cam Boozer. And they got a guy and maybe a distant cousin of mine, Isaiah Evans, who can make it rain from outside. But the downside with Duke, and I guess going to come back and haunt them at some point, man, they have stumbled out of the gate. And largely against me competition, this is not me competition, with even with Brown not on the floor. So if they start off slowly in this game, Louisville may surprisingly win, and win somewhat convincingly. So I ain't going to be bums inside the Give me the Cardinals +1.5. Against Duke, that is in Northern Kentucky, number two on the countdown, -110 at BetMGM. Good, sir. Better follow.
I don't like this one. I don't know why. I mean, all the things that you just said, I don't know. It's not, it's got nothing to do with, you know, trying to you know, bleed into the name that is the Blue Devils or anything like that. Just not feeling a lot of confidence in this one, Brad. I'm going to fade you. I think this game could come down to a final bucket, could go the other way. Duke could all of a sudden get it. And I just don't trust playing in an arena called Yum.
I know what is Yum. All the fried chicken from KFC. It's all mine, Lundy. Screw you.
Nah, I need mashed potatoes and gravy.
Number one.
Numero uno on the Tuesday edition of the Fade 5 Countdown. Let's get silly with the sauce, shall we? I'm going to try to build this. This is a tactic I often use in lines that are usually between like around 5.5 to 7.5 or 8.5 points between two teams that I certainly know, and I feel exactly that way about a pair of Big 12 representatives. Give me the Houston Cougars on the money line. They're at home inside the Fertitta Center, taking on Guns Up and JT Toppin and Texas Tech and the Red Raiders. And I'm going to take Texas Tech up to +13.5. So what does that mean? The Cougs have got to win this between 1 and 13 points. And likely, I think that is going to be the case. +104. So little baby seduced by juice is what we achieve when we try to middle that action at Caesars Sportsbook. Why am I playing it this way? Both these teams are a little bit slower in terms of overall pace. Typical brand of basketball under Kelvin Sampson for H-Town's Mountain Rock and Akita Boots. And then number 353 in adjusted tempo on the season. Only 178 in the AFG offense. A phenomenal defensive team. Really crank up the pressure, dial up the heat, force a lot of turnovers, the occasional sprint outs. Can make it rain on occasion from outside as well, where they're shooting 34.6%. Emmanuel Sharp and company from distance. But defense is their calling card, and offensive rebounding is one of their calling cards. They don't have a ton of bigs. You know, a lot of guys between about 6'5 to 6'9, but man, they're tenacious in trying to crash that glass. Again, typical fashion under Sampson, with the best offensive rebounding teams in college basketball, with the best defensive teams in college basketball, and especially coaxing those turnovers. Offense, though, can be a little bit touch and go. Meanwhile, with Texas Tech, they're 209 in tempo, so they're not racing people out of the gym. They're number 50 in EFG offense, 139 in EFG defense. Pretty good from outside. Christian Anderson in particular, though he was only 1-for-11 last season in this matchup. Though as a group, they're shooting just shy of 40% overall. But you know Houston's going to have a hand in their face repeatedly the entire game. Again, because of the tempos, they're going to be slowed down. That's going to limit possessions. And this is an excellent way to play this game. Houston, I feel, will score the win. And I think they're going to win between 1 to 13 points. That's why I got Texas Tech at +13.5. My top SGP, my top overall play on this Taco Tuesday, built at Caesars at +104. So numero uno on the board today, Landy. Better follow.
Can we move tequila to Tuesday now that we're out of football season?
Can we just make tequila Tuesday and Thursday? How about that?
Well, I mean, I'm okay with that, too. I'm not going to argue with you. You know, we'll grab a bottle of Añejo from our friend Bill Voss over at Suavecito. But yes. I'm just saying, like, now that we don't have Thursday night football to drown our sorrows, can we move it to Tuesday? I'm asking on behalf of all of the Fade 5 listeners.
It is. Okay. Rubber stamped is guaranteed. I accept your motion, mi amigo.
Thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. And I don't mind the idea of doing Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm just saying, I think that in the light of moving the schedule of the Fade 5, we need to think about these kinds of things. Yeah, I'll follow on this one. Good job getting it into plus money. I do think Houston Tech can keep it close, but Houston should take care of business. I'm thinking, 9 points, 10 points, somewhere in that range maybe. I like the idea of jumping in on this one. Take advantage of the fact that you can sort of, you're not really fooling the algorithm, but you're giving yourself a little bit of a buffer.
Oh, yes. I like a little bit of buffer. And bartender, just go ahead and pour me a drink right now. Lundy's recommending it here on this hashtag Tequila Tuesday edition of the Fade 5 podcast. And let's belly up the bar and pour some additional bets, Lundy. It's bonus time. Whether in college basketball, maybe the NBA, drop the puck and makes the Bucks in the NHL, looking ahead to the college football playoff, possibly looking ahead to the wild card round of the NFL as well. All that I require, my man, is for you, good sir, to provide some more action. So what do you got?
Let's have some fun here. Let's go to the ice. You just talked about that. Let me go to my Colorado Avalanche, who are down in America's Wang. They are by the bay, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning this evening. Keep in mind, on, let's see, today's Tuesday. So on Sunday, was it Sunday or was it Saturday? I don't know. It was the holidays. I don't know what day it was. Anyway, keep in mind that against Florida, 2-1, the Avalanche lost what is only their third game of the year in wow. regulation. What the Avs are doing right now, folks, is absolutely insane in the NHL. Three losses in regulation. That is it. And one of them was in their last game. So what does that mean? It means they're probably going to come out, bounce back, even against Vasilevsky and company in Tampa. This is a great matchup between two powerhouses, but I see the Avs getting it done. I don't think they're going to lose two in a row in this particular contest. And you can get the Avs on the money line right now at a minus 115. That's not a number that you see for this Colorado team very often. I think there's a little bit of recency bias in the fact that they lost the game against Florida. I think there's a little bit of an impact on that money line with the fact that Gabe Landeskog went crashing into the pipes in that game against Florida. He's going to be out for a while, so the captain will not be out there for the Avs for a little while he nurses the upper body injury, as they like to call it in the NHL. But at the same time, this team is just so good. I think Nathan MacKinnon is in absolute dog mode right now. He is going to continue to power his way towards what should be, in my opinion, a Hart Trophy based on what you've seen so far. The Hart Trophy, if you're not aware, goes to the league's MVP. That is the kind of season he is having so far. And so I think MacKinnon puts the team on his back again. And like I said, minus 115, you're not going to find the Avs on the money line like that very often. I think they get the job done down in Tampa this evening. Let's talk about Brad's favorite things. That's Sogs. We will take some shots on goal. This is a three-legger that gets you to plus 110. Built it while Brad was rambling on about something with college basketball. Go to the Colorado Avalanche. Give me the choo-choo. Get me on the choo-choo train. Val Nichushkin to have two or more shots on goal. Give me Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers to do the same thing, two or more for him. And then let's go to the young phenom in Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks. Give me three for Celebrini. So two for Nichushkin, two for Reinhart, three for Celebrini over at DraftKings. That is a plus 110 on that three legger. Let's go to a minus 110 coming up this weekend in the wild card games. Yes, I know it's not plus odds, but not everything has to be, folks. Give me two passing touchdowns for Matthew Stafford. Give me one for Josh Allen. Give me one for Trevor Lawrence. Josh Allen each with one, Stafford with two. You put all that together, it's a minus 110. You want to shop around and see if you can save a little bit of juice, feel free. But that's a really simple parlay with something that I think is practically the G word. You know, we don't use that on this podcast, but it's pretty damn close for these guys to take care of the passing touchdowns. Just go look at the matchups that they've got and the ability for them to take advantage of that this weekend. Then this is one you're going to have to follow the bouncing ball. All right. You're going to have to, you might have to press rewind on your pod or slide it back here on YouTube, but follow me on this one. This is all of the games this weekend, all six of them. Okay. On alt lines. Follow along with me because the payday is pretty nice. Give me Pittsburgh +14.5. Give me San Francisco +14.5. Give me Chicago +10.5. Give me Jacksonville +10.5. Give me New England +3.5. And then give me the Rams minus a field goal, -2.5. One more time. Pittsburgh and San Fran both +14.5. Chicago and Jacksonville both +10.5. New England +3.5. Rams -2.5. A six-leg alt line that Brad over at DraftKings +220.
Oh, sexy. Really? So
there you
sexy.
Go. Yeah, that's kind of a fun one. I'm going to put some more together. And by the way, I don't even give a shit. Take the Broncos to lose in the divisional round.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's some way interesting.
You want to talk about Brad, you want to talk about a team that comes out way too freaking slow? Yeah. It's the Denver Broncos. It's what the Broncos do. They come out way too slow in games. I don't know what the hell's going on between Sean Payton's ears. But here's how I look at it, Brad. This past weekend, the Jaguars had this much of a chance to get the number one overall seed. Technically, it was a 3.4% chance, according to the FPI. Okay. They came out and slaughtered Tennessee. Slaughtered them.
They did.
They didn't even give a flip. They were going to represent Duval, and they were going to make sure that they slammed the living crap out of them. The Broncos came out and acted like that game against the Chargers where they could clinch the number one seed was a scrimmage. And I had people going, oh, well, Nate, you know, Sean Payton's trying to, you know, not show his cards before the playoffs. Really? Really? Because the pressure that the Chargers brought in that game, despite the fact that they were resting a bunch of their guys, Bo Nix was a deer in the headlights. And so I don't care whether it winds up being, let's say Buffalo upsets Jacksonville and it's Buffalo that comes to Denver. Okay. Let's say the Chargers pull it off in New England and the Chargers come. Yeah. So yeah, I think the Broncos are in deep shit next weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's entirely fair, to be honest. It's a perfectly assessed way to look at the Denver Broncos right now. All right, my bonus time offerings. We're going to start with a team huevos parlay play of the day in the world of college basketball. Simple on the money line. All these teams got to do is win. Again, I'm on the Volunteers on the standard line, so we'll just go and eliminate the spread entirely and say they win that game with ease against UT. Give me your wife's favorite team, the Kansas Jayhawks. Darren Peterson, we'll see how much he plays dealing with those soft tissue issues. But even if he is limited or doesn't even play at all, I still think they're going to get the victory inside the fog, taking on TCU. And then give me Wild again, right up the road from in Laramie. They are taking on UNLV at home. And UNLV, a very erratic and consistent team. Wyoming, tremendous at home. I've already been betting on them religiously. I love betting on a lot of Mountain West teams, and they're kind of the wagon right now that I am hitching to steadily. So Tennessee, Kansas, Wyoming, all three of those teams win, plus 126 there at BetMGM. Elsewhere, Boone is time.
Can I throw something out real quick?
Yeah.
I think Kansas wins that game, but I would take TCU plus the points. TCU in the last half dozen games, TCU is 5-1 against the spread at Allen Fieldhouse. So they don't always win, but they keep it tight. And I think the Horned Frogs will do it again. Darren Peterson's got something up with his legs, man. He's not making it 40 minutes. What happened in the game against UCF. And I could see TCU keeping this close. I don't think the Jayhawks blow it, but TCU knows how to keep things close in Allen Fieldhouse. I just wanted to throw that out there in case you wanted to take TCU plus 7.5, which right now at DraftKings minus 105.
Yeah, I'm a fraidy cat. That's why I just took the spread out of the equation, and I parlay with a couple of teams there straight up on the money line with the Kansas Jayhawks. All right, elsewhere in bonus time for me, I'm going to lay it with Michigan. I'm going to lay the 22.5 on the road in Happy Valley, taking on Penn State. I can get it right now at plus 100 at BetMGM. Ridiculous team. They're the best team in the country, bar none, in my opinion. The advanced data bears it out. The eye test bears it out, folks. We're a week into January, and they are number one in the country in EFG offense, number one in the country in EFG defense. I've been covering college basketball for over two decades. I have never seen a team this late in the game ranked number one in both of those esteemed categories. So all Michigan does is cover. They're going to win probably by 30-plus on the road against a team in which we'll have maybe a third of the stands filled because nobody gives a crap about basketball at Penn State. So I'm going to lay with Michigan minus 22.5 on the road at Penn State at plus 100. And one last play, looking at the NFL wildcard round and that Jaguars and Bills contest. I'm taking the under on James Cook, 81.5 rush yards. How in the hell is it this high? I honestly thought the number was going to open at like 71.5, maybe 70.5. This is way too high. It's going to come tumbling down the mountainside. So I'm going to grab it now. I grab it at minus 115 at BetMGM. The Jags have not allowed a 70-yard rusher on the ground all damn year. I know James Cook has been phenomenal, but it's not going to start. I actually like the Jaguars to win that game as well down there. Duval, as Liam Cohen likes to say, instead of Duval. He likes to, you know, extend it, roll it. But James Cook's not going to be rolling and moving the chains consistently there on the ground. So give me the under 81.5 rush yards at a minus 115. All right, I'm out of breath, and we are out of time here on the Fade 5 Podcast. Who is a favorite? Would you kindly drop us a rating and a review at your convenience. Also, feed or follow us on the X or the Twitter. Lundy, always give it to you on X at Nate Lundy. I'm doing the same at Noisy Huevos. We'll be back on Friday with another episode, bringing down more action, a ton of action in the NFL wildcard round. Until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you. Peace.